Yeah, we will hear. Okay, that's fine. We were talking about Sunday Sigil. Nothing about Sunday Sigil. Apparently, we set up. Let's see if we can tackle the first Sigil. The Mishnah begins. Hopefully, as the Shroom develops, days and weeks to come, we'll talk a lot about the principle of Shlichos. Ishim is Kadesh's Baal of Shlucha. A woman can either accept the Kedushin herself, or she can appoint the Shlich as well. We'll talk about as the time goes on some of the differences between the Shlich and the woman. Ishim is Kadesh's Bita, she's not above Shlucha. And similarly, a man can recover Kedushin for his little girl until the age when she is a Nara. She's a Nara between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. We're going to talk a little bit more about this as we go on. So the Gemara asked the basic question, just Taichin Mishnah, just simple Pshan Mishnah. Ashtu Bishlucha Makadish Bo Mavaya. Says if the Mishnah says you can makadol, you can appoint the shaliach to give kedushin, so kavachayim you can makadish the woman yourself. So this is your right. I'm Rabbi Yosef Mitzvah Yosef Bishlucha. The reason why the Mishnah presents almost a perfectless reading by the Bishlucha to highlight the fact, highlight the point that we would prefer that you do it yourself. Why is it better for you to do it yourself? Because the kedushin will be chal anyway. Why is it better for you to do it yourself? Because Mitzvah Yosef Bishlucha. It seems to be a general rule of mitzvah. For mitzvahs, even those mitzvahs that are able to be done by a shaliach, we would recommend that you do the mitzvah yourself. Mitzvah yas mishlucha. Why is that? What's the great matter of doing mitzvah yourself? So apparently that's sometimes that you do mitzvah, chavivas a mitzvah, that shows that you really care about it, not just as a general rule of life, things you don't want to do, so you delegate to other people to do, things you really want to do, you tend to do them by yourself. So mitzvah yas mishlucha. Now for most of us, this is not really too much for Maisa. Most of us not getting married at the shaliach anymore. In the olden days, this was a common practice, a lot of travel. But it's not as that most people are not getting married at the shaliach. One time, somebody asked Michelle about getting married at the shaliach. They didn't really ask it seriously, but it was. We were supposed to get married. It was a big snowstorm. And they were stuck over here, and the kala was stuck 300 miles away. And they tried to figure out what to do. So they delayed the wedding, not delayed the wedding, get the kala, take a helicopter, take the helicopter. It was getting very complicated. So I sat in the middle of kind of trying to make light out of a very tense situation. Said maybe we should vote for the first mission instead of not the first mission. Mitzvah Yosef Bishlucha, what's the big deal? I'm going to have to show off for the chasna. Suffice to say that idea did not go over very well. But of course, the Rebbe Chaim didn't come by Mitzvah Yosef Bishlucha. Why would you want to hand it over to Shem? But, so if I say, there is something that is clear as day, munach in his gemach. If the Gemara is discussing about the mitzvah's kedushin, is it better for me to do it myself, or better for me to delegate? Is it okay just equally as good to delegate to somebody else? The implication is obvious that there is a mitzvah's kedushin that we're talking about. If mitzvah's kedushin didn't exist, then this would be a pretty silly discussion whether it's greater for me to do the mitzvah myself or to hand it over to somebody else. So obviously, it's clear as day from Chazal that there is such a thing called the mitzvah's kedushin. So this is a whole eye-opener, because in theory, one can learn the first 40 blad of a Masechet Kedushin, which talks a lot about the notion of Kedushin, and how you make a Kaddish and Ishim, Kesef, Shtar, Bia, all the thousands of details of Hilchos Kedushin, and it never dawned upon you that this is actually a mitzvah in the Torah. Again, we're not here, you know, advocating for or against marriage right now. We're just talking about things before marriage. But we're just talking about pure, plain and simple, is there a mitzvah's essay in a Torah to get married? That's all I want to know. So the pashas in this gemara is, the answer to that question is, absolutely yes. So which Mishnah says this explicitly? I believe everybody saw in the Maamar Kodmos. So the Rambam says this, Mamish Pemolei, the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, when he introduces to the notion of marriage, first gives a little bit of a historical background, very fascinating Rambam, about what marriage looked like pre-Matan Torah, and not exactly the marriage that we're familiar with today. And then the Rambam says, post-Matan Torah, the Klal Yisrael were given the wonderful institution of marriage, and the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Beis writes, "V'likuchin eilu mitzvahs esei shel Torah." The notion of getting married is a mitzvah asei min haTorah. So right away, the Rambam is telling us that kedusha is not just a chalois, it's not just a halachic change in status, there's actually a mitzvah involved, not all that different than the mitzvah eating matzah, like on Tolchek, a little bit, sure, present the mitzvah zase. What would the source be for the mitzvah zase? What's the mokor chumash? The mitzvah zase? So it's a very strange pasuk, kikach kishisha. Why is that a strange pasuk? So we know, those of us at the beginning of the Tzedusha know, that kikach kishisha is the source for the chalais of Kedusha, that's the source for the parents of Kedusha, that's how you know kas. All the details of Hilchus Kedushin, what is Kedushin, what's not Kedushin, are derived from Kiyikach, but it seems to be quite a chiddush that the Rambam is telling us that Kiyikach also includes a mitzvah Kedushin. Why? Because if you would just translate the phrase, how would you, if you were writing your own article translation to Kiyikach Yishisha, what would you write? If and when a man decides to get married, this is what happens. Now, anyone ever bother looking up what the Pesukim are actually talking about Kiyikach Yishisha? They're not even really talking about marriage. They're really talking about divorce. The Torah is trying to get to the punchline. It's hard to get divorced unless you get married first. So the Torah is telling us that, by the way, if by some fluke, by some chance, a guy decides to get married, and by some fluke, they don't get along, and this is what happens, these are the dinim of gerushin, and these are the dinim if he wants to remarry, master b'shos, etc. So the punchline of the Pesukim in Perichot Dalet, in Sefer Zvarah, is not the mitzvah marriage, is not like it says in the Chumash by Daber Shem Moshalima, Daber Bnei Yisrael Vermakaleim Tikhu Isha. It doesn't say that in the Chumash. It's a very, very almost roundabout way of describing Kedushin. But the Rambam saw in those Pesukim as a formal mitzvah zaseh deraisa. What do you think prompted the Rambam to see that the performance of deraisa? Probably saw it in Agamara. Probably read it right out of Agamara, because after all, the Gemara is discussing mitzvah by Yisrael. One could argue with the Rambam, one could disagree with the Rambam, one could assume that there in fact is no mitzvah kedushin. The whole thing doesn't exist. There is no real mitzvah kedushin. The Torah is describing there's a reality of kedushin, but just because it's a reality doesn't necessarily mean that it's a mitzvah. So which great Rishon takes that view that there really is no mitzvah?
The Rosh.
The Rosh Masechet Ksubos. The very famous Rosh in the beginning of Masechet Ksubos. We'll talk about that later on a little bit more. But the Rosh says that no. Getting married, it's a great thing. He's all for getting married, but that's not a mitzvah say in the Torah. There is a mitzvah say that is related to marriage, that's the mitzvah of having children. It's hard to argue with that. That's the first mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah peruvah. So the Rosh concedes that we would like to encourage everybody to get married, but not that getting married is a mitzvah. Getting married is more what we call, why not welcome? It's not a mitzvah, what would we call it?
Hashem
mitzvah. Hashem mitzvah. Don't worry if we're going a little bit slow, we're going to pick up the speed as we go. No, as soon as I see that the guy is holding, we're on for a roll, okay? So comes the Rosh and Ksubos and says that the real mitzvah is having children. Well, Maisa, you should be getting married. The Rosh is also agreeing, also advocating getting married. But the Rosh does make the Ha'ara that the reality is one could theoretically fulfill the mitzvah without getting married. Now, whether or not that means you did it there chetah, whether you did it there issa, that's a complicated sugya. The Rosh introduces the topic we're not going to talk about today. The Rosh talks about, is there any hechitimtzu, any way up the halacha in a permissible manner to have peruvu without getting married? That's a whole other discussion. But it doesn't really make a difference for us because it can be done. I mean, physically, biologically, it can be done. And therefore, the Rosh says it cannot be that the mitzvah is getting married, the mitzvah is having children. The normal protocol is to get married first, but in terms of being a mitzvah for Hatzma, it falls short. As the Pesukim says, the Yikach is just a description of what's happening, it's not the Derech Tzibur. Of course, we have a problem. What's that problem? How do you read Gemara Kedusha? The Gemara does call it a mitzvah. What does that mean according to the Rosh? You see a tremendous chiddush of the Rosh. What's the tremendous chiddush that emanates in this Gemara according to the Rosh? What? But when the Gemara said mitzvah, what it really meant was what?
Mitzvah.
It really meant hechsher mitzvah. And the Gemara is applying the principle called mitzvah yesev ishlubo, even to hechsher mitzvah. And that's an eye opener. I don't know whether other Rishonim will say that so fast, but the Rosh has to say it. The Rosh has no choice. Because since the Rosh just took the mitzvah's kedushin off the chart, just crossed it out of the books. And therefore, according to the Rosh, that the most that getting married is a hechsher mitzvah, and the Gemara still calls it mitzvah yosef shulcho. You see from here a klal within Hilchas mitzvah yosef shulcho. The mitzvah yosef shulcho is not limited only to real mitzvahs. It can apply to hechsher mitzvahs as well. Anyone have any other ideas, any other suggestions, any other examples of Hechsheritzel where this may become relevant? As in building a sukkah, for example, we usually think of building a sukkah as a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah, the pashas, the dvar lives, the mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah. So teishvishim is yom. So it doesn't say besukkah is tivnu, it says sukkah is teishvishim. So the pashas, the dvar is that the building of the sukkah is only a hechsher mitzvah. Would you say mitzvah yaseh v'shlucho on that? According to the Rush, maybe. According to the Rush, building a sukkah, the relationship between building a sukkah and eating the sukkah is like the relationship between getting married and having children. The Gemara does say mitzvah yaseh v'shlucho. According to the Rambam, who reads the Gemara Kipshutai, the Gemara is talking about a mitzvah's kedushin, but maybe the Rambam would say that things that are only hechsher mitzvahs, in fact, would not have mitzvah yaseh v'shlucho attached to them. So that would be a good, very good example. Anyone just toss out one more, just to make it a little clearer? Tzitzis is not a bad example either, right? Tzitzis, the Torah says that you have to wear the tzitzis. When you're wearing the bag for the tzitzis, that's the mitzvah. The making of the tzitzis, ash the dvar, that's only hechsher mitzvah. According to the Rush, would we insist that the person, the chachim, will make his own tzitzis? Probably, because that's called the siriyas. The shluchai, according to the Rambam, we would have no mocha to say such a thing. According to the Rambam, only when you have a mitzvah, which is a mitzvah in the asma, would you say mitzvah yes,
mishlo? You have to sit in your own sukkah?
No, you don't have to.
So then even could be possible to run without it?
You would for sure be yaitzei sukkah, and even if you didn't build a sukkah. There's no question if you went to somebody else's sukkah and crashed for a week, you would be yaitzei. But I'm just saying that, is that something, if I would come and ask the rabbi, should I bother building my own sukkah or not? Should I bother building somebody else's sukkah? Should I be involved in the hechsher mitzvah of building a sukkah? So according to the Rosh, the answer would probably be yes. Mitzvah, yes, mishluch. Again, at the end of the day, if I didn't do it about the mitzvah, that's not a question.
Is
hechsher
mitzvah defined as something that has to be done, you know, in order to get to that point?
It's usually something that has, well, somebody's got to build a sukkah in order for the sukkah to be able to be. It doesn't necessarily mean me. Okay? Would we have any real enough communal adina between the Ram and the Rosh in terms of what our view, what our take on marriage is? Are we looking at marriage through the eyes of the Rambam that's an itzvah to the Atzmah? We're looking at marriage through the eyes of the Rosh that's just a hechsher mitzvah. Would there be a situation that would arise where we would advocate marriage according to the Ram and not necessarily advocate it according to the Rosh?
Say
a person has children already. So we're not quite sure yet at what point do we say he has enough children or doesn't have to continue. We don't know that yet. Well, let's say you have an individual who's not going to have any more children. We know for a fact. So you have a couple's getting married. He is 98 and she's 96, and they're not planning on having a big family from here on in. So what's the deal? So would we say to them that that's a wonderful thing, that's a great mitzvah that you're about to embark upon? Or would we say, no, not necessary? So according to the Rambam, that would be a beautiful thing. That would be the same mitzvah of Yeraisa, Kika, Hashisha, as the 22-year-old getting married. Because according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of getting married is the mitzvah of Fe'asva. According to the Rosh, there is no mitzvah for that, but it's only geared towards the notion of having children. If and when it's not going to result in children, then there would be no purpose, according to the Rosh. But maybe there would be other reasons. There wouldn't be the Hechsher mitzvah that the Gemara spoke about here. So again, this Ram and the Rosh are real eye-openers in terms of how we view the mitzvah left of them. So much of the discussion between the Rambam and the Rosh revolves around not so much a sugya in Kedushin Dr. Malif. It starts with Kedushin Dr. Malif, but it revolves around the sugya Ksubis under Zion. Anybody here learned the sugya before today? A little bit? Okay, so we'll try to get onto it a little bit. So there's a famous Gemara Maseches Ksubis, where the Gemara talks about a person getting married on the Zion of the day. The Gemara says that you have to recite brachas at the time of Kedushin. Actually, the Gemara talks about brachas at the time of Kedushin and other brachas at the time of Nisuin. The regular marriage, the way things used to be until 1,000 years ago. So generally, the Torah speaks about two different stages of marriage. There's Kedushin, and Erusin are synonymous with one another. There's Kedushin, then there's a later stage called Nisuin. Once the woman has Kedushin, that means you have either Kesah, Shtar, or Bia, so then she's considered to be an Eishes Ish, and if you want to break up the marriage at that point, she requires a get. If she'll be Mazalim, and somebody that this is their eyes, it's Eishes Ish, and Kripam Zeris, etc. She's a real, full-fledged Eishes Ish. But Kozman, that she hasn't had the second stage of Nisuin, so there are a whole series of different halachas that apply. For example, she's not supposed to be with her husband, but after she has Nisuin, let's say if one of the parties dies, there's no availus one for another, etc. There are many, many details in halacha that kick in only at the later point for the Nisuin. These are dinim in the Torah. Kedushin is a dinim in the Torah, Nisuin is a dinim in the Torah. There is no din that you have to separate between the two in terms of any amount of time. In the days of Mishnayos, there was a minhag that they used to separate a long time. So you have Kedushin, then So the girl would go back to her father's home. He would go prepare a chasana, and then a few months later, a year later, whatever it was, they would get back together and go to Nisun, which was going to some Rishonim, and then the Chubba, the Rishonim, going to Yichud Rum, different opinions. We try to be able to say, everybody. When a wedding's over today, we want to be happy and say we're married the holidays. So we don't want a couple to walk away and say, well, going to some Rishonim, you're married, or you're not married, we like to be happy. Some things we try to do. It's one thing to say, well, I heard the show for Purim, the most Rishonim, but you want to be married the holidays. Okay, fine. So, there is no din that you have to have Kedusha and Nisuin separated from one another, but that was the Minhag Yisrael for many, many, many thousands of years. That changed actually the days of the Rishonim. The reason why it changed the days of the Rishonim because it was getting too dangerous. Because in the days of the Rishonim, they had there were Crusades. In the days of the Crusades, so it would be a very, very dangerous, precarious situation. We have a couple that's married, and he's living in one town, she's living in another town. No one knows, no one's able to email each other, no one's able to call each other, no one knows who's coming and going. And all of a sudden, you have other people, and people are running for their lives, so it was a disaster. So therefore, the Rishonim instituted that we're going to do away with this minhag. It was never a requirement anyway. We're going to do away with this practice, separating Kedusha and Nisuin. We're going to lump them all into one shot. We're going to have the Kedusha and then the Nisuin 2 minutes later, which is exactly what we do at a Yamazet. We have the Kedusha, he gives a ring, and then 2 seconds later, they're under the chuppah already, and they're in Yichud Rum and Shoyin and Shomer Yisrael and Mazbuch, and they're married. So the Gemara speaks about these two different processes. And the Gemara says Chazal instituted two different sets of brachas. There are brachas erusin, and then there are brachas nesuin. The brachas nesuin are the sheva brachas, first recited under the chuppah. And the brachas erusin is the first of the long brachas, shekidishan, mitzvahs, mitzvahs, etc. It's actually, anyone know what practice we have under the chuppah today? We have a fairly new minhag under the chuppah. It's only about 1,000 years old. We have a fairly new minhag under the chuppah because of this change. Because we used to have kedusha and nesuin separated, now we have the other. That's really the ksuba, because if you don't read the ksuba, then you have a problem, because you're going to have an unnecessary bracha for bar priya gofen. We want to recite bar priya gofen for both sets of brachas. You can't make a bar priya gofen, then another one 2 seconds later, so you have to make a hefsik. So the hefsik that Rashi is quoted as saying a good idea, Rashi is looking around for him to waste time with. So he's thinking, what can we do to waste time? Rashi came with a great idea, read the ksuba. You don't have to read the ksuba. You just have to write the ksuba and sign the ksuba. There's no halacha to read the ksuba. So Rashi instituted we should read the ksuba as the drag up to waste time. Some rabbanim want to be very, very machped in this hefsek, so they give a drasha, and they give a very, very long drasha. And even a longer drasha, they should have a hefsek, it should be 72 minutes, they can enter the whole rabbanim.
We read 2 separate
for
your period of often, not
one. Yeah, we do. So when the Gemara talks about the Birchas Eirusin, which is the focus of our Shia right now, so the Gemara says in the second Ksubis, Chazal instituted the following bracha. So the Gemara gives us the entire text of the bracha. It says, Baruch Ata Hashem, Orkeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushah, L'Tzmeisa, V'Kivah L'Arayos, V'Yos L'Anas Arusel, V'Yit L'Anas Arusuas, and Yechub V'Kiddushin, and there's the question whether it ends or not. So you take a look at this bracha, and you have to start to scratch your head and ask yourself the following question. What is the nature of this bracha? What kind of a bracha? Why is it that as we're about to get married, we recite a bracha? So the Rambam looked at this bracha and came to what conclusion? The reason why you recite this bracha is because you're about to do a mitzvah. This is no different than putting on your tefillin, eating your matzah, blowing your shofar. Anytime you do the mitzvah of the Torah, not every time, there's some mitzvahs that for technical reasons don't get brachas. But the general rule is, on the Torah, and it's kind of the mitzvah Torah, so you recite a bracha, and the bracha is the bracha mitzvah. It starts out with the mitzvah, Baruch Hashem, and Moshe, and the shofar of mitzvah, and the shofar of mitzvah, sounds like an absolute classic Birchas HaMitzvah. So according to the Rambam, in the beginning of Chosh Ishus, where the Rambam got out of the Gemara Kedushin, Manal Vavral, because the mitzvah is Kedushin, nothing to do with having children, it's a mitzvah of Shnei Atma. Now look at the Gemara Kedushin, it says, you recite a bracha, and that's exactly what's happening. It's all one big picture, it's all very, very simple. Kedushin of Zion is a regular, plain, and simple Birchas HaMitzvah. Of course, the Rosh took one look at this Gemara, and he said, oh, what's going on, right? Why are you reciting a bracha? You're not doing a mitzvah. Just because you're doing a hechsher mitzvah. Does a hechsher mitzvah require a bracha? We gave some examples of hechsher mitzvahs. What were some examples? Sukkah, sittes. A lot of hechsher mitzvahs that we do. Guy bakes matzahs. Guy goes to the store, buys a shofar. Somebody makes brachas on hechsher mitzvah. Brachas are only reserved for the mitzvah proper. So the Rosh is taking a look at this Gemara and saying, wait a second. What's going on here? You're making a bracha to Hechsher Mitzvah, not a mitzvah. What else? What are you making me bracha on? So it's a pilly plug. The Rosh has a big, big problem with this Gemara Masechet Ksuvos. Just as an aside, anyone know there's a famous mitzvah that we perform that we daf to do recite a bracha on, and our reciting the bracha drives home the point that it's not a real Hashem mitzvah. It's not really a mitzvah for that. Well, there are probably like 100 instances. I'm looking for the one that I want. I'll give it the one that I want. Another one that we have 6 out of 13 and 7 of the was good for us. This model land that we didn't get past the rush. So there is a famous Gemara that says the Dar of Barry, very Gemara. The one says at the time of Churban by Rishon, the Pasuk says that a law of the heart, why was the earth destroyed? Why was the basic Mikdash destroyed? A law of the heart. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem al Ozlam es Terasi, because they left the Torah. The Gemara Nesech the Darim quotes an amazing background to this question and answer. A law of the heart, so the Gemara Darim says, the Chachamim in that generation were perplexed. Why was this Mikdash destroyed? What's going on? Why did Israel destroy? What's going on? And they didn't know the answer to the question. Then the Gemara says, not only did the Chacham not know, the Nevi'im didn't know either. And they went once, the Malachim didn't know. Nobody knew. Nobody could figure out why the base picture was destroyed. A law of the earth. And there's only one entity in this world that was able to answer the question. As the Prophet said, the Yayin Hashem of Azmu Mustaras. The Rebbe Shalom said the reason why the base picture was destroyed because they left the Torah. That was the Kasha. You have to learn, even the Zagadi, a little bit of still.
How did anyone else know?
Nobody figured it out. The Chacham couldn't figure it out. Nobody figured it out. Allah's was there rusty. Allah's was there rusty. Sounds like they weren't from. They were no one's doing anything. No one's learning. No one's having. No one's doing Shabbos. No one's giving Kav. So it takes a great Chacham to figure out Allah of the hearts. What's Pshat? So Gemara says, Mikan, Allah's was there rusty means, Shalom Bircha Batayra Tchila. The Kaisal didn't recite Birch Satayra before they learned Torah. That was the answer of the Rosh Hashanah. It was such a chap, nobody else chap that. What's the cash now? It's a churban. First the Torah is machlekes rishonim, the rice of the rabbah. That's a churban. I mean, come on, between you and me. The guy came because a few people came late to shul in the morning. They started birch the shach, they forgot to say birch the Torah. So that brought down the base of mitzvah. So the base of lady has a very, very powerful, it's a powerful, you know, mimer, about this just touch a little bit of Hashem Mitzvah, share with you first to go back to the rush for a moment. Beis HaLevi says that some people have an approach to Levin HaTorah. The Levin HaTorah is kind of like the Hashem Mitzvah. Namely, you know, I want to be a good Jew on my Shabbos and Kashrus. Oh, I'll take a little smatter, a little Shabbos, Kashrus, kind of Shia here and there. As long as I become, you know, I know how to be an observant Jew, that's fine. That's cool. That's all the Talmud Torah is. So some people have that misunderstanding of Torah. The Mitzvah Talmud Torah, it's true that you have to learn in order to know how to observe Allah. That's true. But the essence of Torah is not a means to an end. Torah is an end in itself. It doesn't make the slightest bit of difference whether we're learning a sugya of how not to cook on Shabbos or how to put on tefillin, or whether we're learning some esoteric sugya about Egla Rufa or Irandachas or something, or buying some Anuga things that will hoy you, or hear things that never happened that will happen. It doesn't matter. Why would Rosh Baruch start? Chochmas Hashem has to be learned. Third version is a mitzvah talmud Torah. We have to learn after the Shbrach, the Kol Torah Kula from beginning to end. Every single part, whether it is relevant or not relevant, it's a different thing. Talmud Torah is not a means to an end of Torah, it's an end of it. Says the Beis HaLevi. If a person approaches Torah in the first way, with that, it won't make a bracha. You know why? You don't make a bracha, actually. You make a bracha on a mitzvah. So when Chazal says Shalom Birch HaTorah Kula, then, not they got up late for sure, they were lazy at that thing. It was a shita. It was a fundamental flaw in their appreciation of Torah. It was a fundamental flaw in the Hashkafas Achayim about what the role of learning was. And that, the Rosh Hashanah Tos Ketaka brings down basically Mikdash. That's called an Ozo Misterosti. So a person merely delegates Torah as the way to reach other ends and other goals of life. It's so fundamental, it's so problematic. The Rosh Hashanah can't tell us the Torah. It's hard for anyone else to notice that because the guys were steiging, they were learning, but with a different mindset. The mindset was so fundamental. Anyway, I get back from this little chizuk, little muscle, little something first or something. Not that story. So according to the Rosh, we have a big, big problem with this remark for this. Why in the world are you making a bracha? You're not doing a mitzvah anyway. So we have a klal gadol, a kusha adat, the rest is the chamer gadol. When you have a kasha, so one kasha isn't going to get you too far. They say, as the joke is in, one kasha is a kasha. Two kashas already is a deretz. Three kashas is already yisoid. And four kashas is already what? a shir klali. We can make the whole. So we have a couple of kashas. The Rosh, the first kasha we have, and we might see against the Rosh is, what are you making a brach for? Not a mitzvah. What's the other kasha? In Super Zavzai, we read this Gemara. The Gemara says, my Bavara can make the following brach. If you show them, it's very simple. What's the problem?
The mitzvah stuff.
What?
The mitzvah stuff. See, why the mitzvah stuff? It says the mitzvah.
Talk about it.
The Gemara is saying that it's a Shekhi Shana Mitzvah Sub.
Shekhi Shana Mitzvah Sub, it's Sivanu Allah, Allah Raya. So we thank you, Ben Shalom, thank you for the Kashas that we shouldn't marry our sisters, our mothers, etc. Anyone here walk past the Trafer restaurant this morning? Is that the East Coast of Lobos? I don't know what's over there. Okay, anyone walk past McDonald's ever? Ever? In your whole life? Yeah. Trafer McDonald's. So did you stop in front of McDonald's and say, Baruch Ad Hashem Ha'ashek, Yidishan Mitzvah Yitzvah Shal Lechol Basar Lechol. How come last week, everyone kept Pesach last week? So, you must have bumped into Chavetz somewhere. You must have seen, maybe in a corner of your eye, maybe you were in the store in Chol Moed, you saw Bach Tzir, Ha'ashek, Yidishan Mitzvah Yitzvah Shal Lechol Chol Mitzvah Pesach. The problem is Shalei Tzomis. Since when do we make brachas? How do you serve it? We only make brachas on nitzvahs. Everybody knows that. Think of all the brachas that we make. Brachas are just on nitzvahs essay. There are no brachas that are daft because it's so basic, so fundamental. That brachas are not recited on Yisurim. That to be sure, they have a big problem with the Pesachim. The Gemara says in Pesachim, you have to make a bracha before him. What's the problem with that Gemara? Of course you have to make a bracha. Mitzvah, why should you make a bracha? So the Rishon explained, I would have thought that maybe Digas Chometz doesn't warrant a bracha. You know why? Because I would have thought that maybe the whole goal of Digas Chometz is just the surah. It's just to make sure I don't eat the Chometz, make sure I don't have the reason for Rishon's different reasons from Digas Chometz. So I would have thought that Digas Chometz is like passing the balance. It's like passing the box of syrup. I would have thought it's like other Yisurim. I make a bracha on not being Mechal Shabbos. I make a bracha on not eating in Kippur. I make a bracha on Yisurim. The Kamash Belan, the B'digas Chomis is a formal mitzvah. In addition to being a safeguard against various Yisrael and Torah, it is formulated as an official formal mitzvah in the Rabbanan called B'digas Chomis, and therefore you have every right and every obligation to recite a bracha. So whenever you have something that's only B'teras, is a Hebrew spin, B'Yisurim, there's no bracha. So the Rosh is very, very bothered with the text of the bracha. Says, what kind of bracha is this? A Shekin Yishon Mitzvah, Mitzvah Al-Harayas. Since when do we make a bracha? Thank you very much, but not about any of the Rosh has other problems. What the other problems are? Why are you talking about our lives? Guys standing here in the chuppah, getting married as cow. Does he say, thank you very much, I married my sister with that. Why didn't you speak that person? The whole bracha doesn't make any sense. And then there's a bigger problem. More problems with the bracha. We're past the shir problem.
Chuppah,
where did that come out of the field from? And what else? It's so long. Anyone remember what everyone put on tefillin? I usually ask the kasha in shiur. Everyone put on tefillin, so usually the answer is yes. Hopefully. Sometimes on a Sunday morning, if you have emergency shiur at 9 o'clock, somebody asks the kasha. Every once in a while, there's a guy in the back who's still yawning. But most of the time, by 12 o'clock, hopefully, guys are ready to put on tefillin. So we make a brother put on tefillin. Hashem yidishon mitzvayis and tivel aniach tefillin. There's no speech. There's no drama. There's no soliloquy about the significance of putting on tefillin. Bottom line, get to the punchline. Aniach tefillin. So many matzah 2 weeks ago. Hashem Kiddushan, Alechim and matzah finished. There's no longer Megillah down for the Yitzhak Ben. You better say it, but I thought he told me it's in the family. You don't need to say it. Just say the point, get to the punchline and finished. So what kind of bracha is this? Hashem Kiddushan, Yitzhak, 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 Yitzhak,
Yitzhak,
Yitzhak, Yitzhak,
It's similar to
Drachma
Mila,
because
our life cycle events.
Ooh. So what are you saying with life cycle events? Are you telling me that it's not a Berech Berech Hasawa?
Yes.
Oh, so you're telling me, so you say like the Rosh. So Kumta Rosh, the Tzatzkubus, he says, based on all of the above kashas, that number one, it doesn't make any sense under the sun to recite Berecha on being married, because it's not a mitzvah in the first place, it's only a hashim, it's a little shittos, it says the Rosh. And number two, the Nuschah Bracha doesn't even address getting married. It addresses who you're not allowed to get married. And number three, this Bracha is so long and elaborate. It's so out of place in terms of mitzvahs. You put all these kashas together and you have Asher Klali, says the Rosh, that this is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. It never was, it never is, it never will be. It's not a Birchas HaMitzvah.
It's a different type of a bracha. What type of, there are many, many brachas that we recite. Some are brachas and mitzvahs, and there are other brachas that are brachas a what? It's really praising your Rebbe Shalom about, as you said so eloquently, the life cycle event. Marriage is a great one, we were all for it, and therefore we praise the Rebbe Shalom at the stage of marriage. So it's not the mitzvahs kedushin, because there is no mitzvah kedushin for the Rosh, it's the shevach for the institution of marriage that's mechagin this bracha. It's a very, very different bracha. A very different type of bracha. So if I say, could one walk a tightrope between the Rambam and the Rosh? Is it possible that fundamentally one could accept the Rambam's Hanocha, because again, the Rambam is the simpler reading of Kedushin Mem Aleph. Could one follow the Rambam's understanding that there is a Mitzvah Kedushin and still come to the conclusion that the Rosh is right, that the Bracha is not a Berachas HaMitzvah, it's not a Berachas HaShavach? Or are those two things contradictory? So again, we have, on the one hand, we have two extremes now in the Rishonim. We're weighing in on our topic. This is Brandon Marcus, we'll have to see what it is there. So there's one issue is there a mitzvah? And the other is, what's the nature of the bracha? So the Rambam tells us, yeah, there is a mitzvah, and therefore the bracha is a birchas ha-mitzvah. And according to the Rosh, no, there's no mitzvah, and therefore the bracha is a birchas ha-shevach. But could we create a third person? I don't know what that third person is yet. Who's going to say yes to the mitzvah, but no, it's a bechza shevach, not a bechza mitzvah. What? Does that sheet that makes sense even? So how do you even begin to formulate such a sheet?
Well, because here, this is, you can feel wrong on that this is a mitzvah, since it's totally on das ha-peres, so the woman says yes, then maybe you could be making a bracha la-tala to be down the mitzvah, if you do a bechza shevach, you're safe.
Okay, so you're already... Three steps ahead. You're already talking about when and how and when the spirit is going to be said. I want to know just what this bracha is. I mean, you're 100% right, your comments are right, but I'm not even up there right yet. I just want to know, about the nature of the... Does this make any sense? It's a mitzvah, and yet it doesn't get a bracha, so it gets a bracha shevach. Is there something funny about that?
How
does
it do
this? Can we define Brichas Shabbat? Like, I'm praising the Rabban Shalom for the rainbow. I'm praising the Rabban Shalom for Brichas Ayalanos. I'm praising the Rabban Shalom for many, many things. But I'll institute it. When great, wonderful events happen in the course of your lifetime, you should praise Hashem. So one of the great things that you do is getting married.
There are only two possibilities in the Gemara in Suez, either Brichas Affairs or Mitzvah or Kiddush.
Okay, so the Gemara there is talking about not so much with the essence of the bracha. The Gemara there is talking about how we formulate the nusach of bracha vis-a-vis chasimus of bracha. So the Gemara just gives examples of short brachas versus long brachas. The Gemara may not even be addressing the fundamental issue as to what the essence of bracha is. The Gemara is talking about the text of the bracha, not the essence.
Isn't that also what the Rosh is addressing the nusach of bracha?
Well, the Rosh is building from the nusach of bracha. The Rosh is looking at the whole nusach and saying, hey, wait a second, I got this long nusach of bracha, and it doesn't seem to match up to any brachas and mitzvahs. It must be something fundamental there. So again, so I'm just looking, I'm just searching for a possibility. I don't have a name to put in the shita, but before I put a name on, I do have a name in the back of my mind, but I have a name for the shita, but I'm just trying to figure out how could I conceptualize and say that, well, on the one hand, yes, it's a mitzvah, but on the other hand, it doesn't get birchas mitzvah. The answer is there are a lot of mitzvahs that don't get birchas mitzvahs. Not every mitzvah gets birchas mitzvahs. There's more mitzvahs that don't get birchas mitzvahs. And do. Rather walk one or two mitzvahs that don't have birchas
mitzvahs.
So there must be some kind of rules, some kind of set of rules, which mitzvahs do get brachas and which mitzvahs don't. So is there any reason to believe that kedushin is in one of those categories of mitzvahs that exist? The Rambam is right. The Rambam is right that it's a mitzvah. But the Rambam in Tarakim and Tzitzis is right. If the Rambam is a mitzvah, that part of the Rambam may not necessarily be correct. So how can we walk this tightrope? Call it a mitzvah, and yet insist that there's no mitzvah.
If marriage is an end in itself, and it's not about peruvu, then it becomes more of another mechaber type mitzvah.
I don't know, when I call marriage, I mean, I understand, then a mechaber generally don't, but when I call marriage a mitzvah, you need a wife to work with, but I'm not sure I would focus on a full marriage. I'm not sure.
Maybe if the mitzvah isn't happening at the moment of the bracha.
Ooh, so now we're talking about almost technicalities. Yeah. When we look at certain mitzvahs that don't have brachas, so many that don't have brachas for very real conceptual halachic reasons,
like perhaps mitzvahs ben amachadero, maybe, and there may be other mitzvahs that don't have relevance for pure technical grounds. So one of the potential technical glitches why certain mitzvahs may not have a bracha is because there's almost no way, no time, no appropriate framework to recite that bracha. Because if you think about it for a moment, when exactly should you recite this birchas hamitzvah? Grandiose bracha on getting married. Let me start off by saying, well, there are two parts of marriage. There's kedushin and there's nesuin. And let's not forget, until the days of Rashi, but these two parts were separated by many, many months up to a year in between. So just think about it. Let's play it out in our minds. Imagine I'm about to perform this mitzvah of getting married, and I'm all psyched, all ready and rolling, ready to make a bracha. When should I make the bracha? Exactly what time should I make the bracha? So normally when you make bracha, you make it but right before you begin to do the mitzvah. So I make the bracha, sheki nishanu, mitzvah, or whatever it is, getting married, and sure. And then I do kedushin. What I do, I put a ring on our finger, mazel tov. And then what happens? Then where do we go?
Home.
She goes home. I go home. See you later. 4 months from now, text you a few times in the middle, and call it a day. So it's a very wonderful thing. A very, very strange thing. The mitzvah of getting married is really, truly only completed at what point? At the point of nisuin. And that's going to be a very bizarre way of reciting a bracha. Since when do we recite brachas that have such a long, you talk about months of a hefsek until the mitzvah reaches fruition? So maybe we got it all wrong. Maybe we jumped the gun on the bracha. Maybe it would be more correct to recite the bracha when? Maybe otot by the nisuin. So let's assume for now the nisuin is going to the yichud room. Maybe. Let's say the Ramashi. That's what the nisuin is. So maybe what should happen is they should have the kedushin without a bracha. They should separate for 12 months. Come back, and as they're about to lock the door of the yichud room, they should make a bracha. Hashem can show where the bracha should be. What's the problem with that? Also not appropriate. Why is not appropriate? Because you did three quarters of the mitzvah already. So you already there. So we're having a problem now with timing of this bracha properly. Our gut feeling is we want to time this bracha right before the mitzvah, but it's a very straight, it's not like most of the mitzvahs. Most mitzvahs are pretty straightforward. I take a bracha, put away the phone shot, and I make a bracha, and I blow the shofar, and finish, and done. Here, I make a bracha, I start the mitzvah, I take a 10-month break, and I come back to finish it. Where do I make the bracha? So the Ran, we've got a super bad decision. Ran was conservative. So the Ran says, you know, the Rambam fundamentally is right that it's a mitzvah, and therefore it should warrant a bracha. But the problem is we have a technical problem. So whereas according to the Rosh, there was what we call a conceptual problem with making a birchas a mitzvah on marriage, and according to the Rosh, marriage wasn't really a mitzvah altogether. So halakhically, conceptually, it's not mitzvah the brachas. The Ran is saying, no, it is conceptually mitzvah the brachas, but it's not technically mitzvah the brachas because of this whole balagan as to when to talk the bracha properly. And therefore, the Ran, in effect, falls back on the Rosh's position, balav mitaveh. The Ran says, you know what? The Rosh is probably right. It's probably Birchas HaShavach and all the ramifications thereof. But what prompted the Ran to get there is not the same thing that prompted the Rosh to get there. The Rosh got there because it's not a mitzvah. The Ran got there because, yes, it's a mitzvah, but Afo Pichein is a technical problem. Whereas the Rambam, the Ran here, the name, whereas the Rambam was very comfortable with declaring a mitzvah, and the corollary being, it should be better than a mitzvah. How come the Rambam wasn't concerned with the Ran's objection? How come the Rambam didn't seem to be too disturbed by the fact that there's going to be a big hefsek? What does the Rambam seem to be saying?
Kedushin.
That the kedushin is the mitzvah, because after all, that's what the word kiyikach means. Kiyikach, the source of the Rambam was kiyikach ishisha. At the time of kedushin, the couple is married. Now there are a couple of odds and ends. You can't have a relationship yet, and maybe they don't have a one another, maybe you can't be made by the Dharam yet, maybe Yosh, you know. There are a couple of important differences between a woman who's in Arusa and a woman who's in Asua. But in terms of the Etzem HaMitzvah, so the Rambam Shita seems to be that the mitzvah is complete, the mitzvah is done, therefore the mitzvah wants a bracha immediately. So we have really three very, very different approaches in the Gedolei Rishonim as to how to, in a sense, look at the sugyas of Sumis and the Sugyan Kedushin. So we're really learning two Gemaras at the same time. We're learning Kedushin Daf Memalef, we're learning Sumis Daf Dayan Rebeis, and we're seeing three different approaches in the Gedolei Rishonim, how to almost put this whole picture together. So the Rambam is very, very consistent. The Rambam took the Gemara in Kedushin to Pshuto. mitzvah bal yasa b'shulchan. So the Gemara Kedushin reads like a charm according to the Rambam. The Gemara Ksuvos reads a little bit shaky according to the Rambam. You have to just kind of push in the words a little bit and say, yeah, yes, b'chsa mitzvah. Aye, it's so funny. Yeah, that's okay. Aye, it's so long. Yeah, that's okay. Aye, talk about the wrong thing. That's also okay. So out of the two Gemaras, the Gemara Kedushin is clearly the smoother one for the Rambam. Gemara Ksuvos has to be, you know, a little bit of surgery on, make it fit into the Rambam's view. Whereas the Rosh is the exact opposite. The Rosh's view is that the Gemara Ksuvos, that carries the day. Since it's such a bizarre bracha, that's a proof positive it's not a Berachas HaMitzvah, which convinces us that getting married is not a mitzvah. So that Gemara Ksuvos reads like a Shalom according to the Rosh, and now you got to revamp and correct the tradition of the Malach, and you have to, you know, kind of do a little bit of surgery on this Gemara. The Gemara says mitzvah, just kidding, we didn't really mean that, we really meant Hashem mitzvah. And mitzvah by yas b'shulchan, just kidding, it means hashabah mitzvah yas b'shulchan. So whereas the Rambam had to do his smoothing out the rough edges in Ksuvos, the Rosh had to do the same in a sense condition. The only Rishon, who's on a lot of it, the Rishon is got everything, is gewaldic, is the Ran. The Ran says, yeah, you're making it needed. Kedushin is gewaldic because it's a mitzvah. The Gemara Ksuvos is birchas hashavach, and just because it's a mitzvah doesn't warrant the bracha because of the technical glitch. If it's impossible because of the problem it has. Again, we should have to train ourselves. When we're learning the sugya, it's important not just to learn this sugya itself, but begin to train ourselves at a thing to see how we share and read Gemaras. Now, there's clearly two Gemaras that are interplaying over here, Kedushin and Malach and Ksuvos Dav Zayin, and you can see three very, very different approaches. And you've done it with three great minds are learning the two sugyas in radically different ways. Whenever you have almost like a steam of Gemaras, so it's almost like a quasi-composition of Gemaras, so they're usually different approaches. Some Rishonim will put almost more of the emphasis on one sugya, and then you have to kind of touch up the other sugya. And the other Rishonim will put the emphasis on the other sugya and try to touch up this sugya. So this, you see this, what we call Lumbus 101. This is playing out very clearly in the different approaches between the Rambam and the Rosh. So this is the background in terms of just seeing where the Shittas and Rishonim are coming from in terms of the Gemaras. But now we have to take the sugya to the next level. It's all nice to talk as Olam HaTalyonim about the mitzvah tradition. The nation is up ahead and there. Between you and me, because I don't really care. We don't care because, as the basic lady said, I got one Torah, whether it's Lamaisa or not. We do care, yes, 100%. But when I say do we care, I mean do we care in the world of Lamaisa? Do we care in Shulchan Aruch? The practical rabbinics, does it really make a difference what this bruch is? At the end of the day, everyone's getting married. At the end of the day, everyone's making bruches, a great there. So does it really make a difference whether the but it's a bracha, the bracha, it's on the same card, on the cardboard, on the chuppah, whether it's a bracha, shevach, who cares what the nature of the bracha is. So what's the basic question? The first basic question that we should begin to tackle as to who cares for myself what the bracha is, when they make it, the timing of the bracha. The timing of the bracha is critical because in the sukkah, the bracha mitzvahs, the timing of the bracha is pretty much everything. The famous Gemara, brachos are always timed before the mitzvah. Just think about it in real life. You recite a bracha right before you tie the knot of tefillah. The bracha in the rosh right before you tie it before it's in place. You recite a bracha on the Kuvah Yom before you read. You recite a bracha on the Chanuk before you light. You always recite brachas right before you do the mitzvah. Now, the truth to be told, there are a few exceptions to that rule, but for pure technical differences, before we get to actually get them a note, what are some of the famous possible exceptions to that rule? Tzmila is probably not. Tzvila, this feels a tricky one. It's a really tricky one. We're going to do that for a second. The bracha on Tzvila. So Tvila, if you think about this, when you go to the mikvah, look over, there's no reason why she needs to recite the bracha at Tvila and then go right onto the water. It's called Mitzvah Sabrachah of Rasiyasa. So according to many Rishonim, that's exactly what she does do. But other Rishonim, no, she doesn't. And she goes on the first, then recites the bracha. Why? Anyone know where that came from?
The Lopog.
What? The Lopog of where?
That we do it by Geras.
By Geras. So the Gemara says in Tzachim that when a person converts, they also recite the bracha at Tvila. There, they must recite the bracha afterwards. And Jewish people, you can't say Asher Kishon until they come out of the mikvah. So by Tfilas Ger, it must be that way. So Tzitzis is close to opinions. The Chazal instituted only by Tfilas Ger, or maybe it's across the board, the low plug. No, Lagamish. That's a big question. That's a big mafia.
Sharm because it's inspired by Ashkenaz, Mani, and Lidev. Everyone knows any other brachas that we took the order because we were just stuck.
Yes,
so Sidai, according to the Jesus Quotes, one possibility, and we know another one. Well, there's some bits. Don't say it all. Ladik Neshel Shabbos, the Moving Bench left, and they took the order. There's one opinion we showed him that once you make the bracha of the Kama Shabbos, you can't make any line anymore. So you have a few brachas, odds and ends of brachas, but the order they get tampered with. But by and large, the rule is called Mitzvah Bracha of Mitzvah. But then, of course, not a great surprise. I mean, the Rambam in Per Gimel quotes the Sugya of Subhas Avzayim, and he quotes the bracha of the Dechotom. The Rambam writes, he gives the ring. He makes the rock and the shlech, not the shlech, makes the rock up. Says the Rambam, no different than any other mitzvah, exactly what we would have expected out of the Rambam. Simple, straightforward. Who would already potentially argue with this, Rambam? The Rosh. Because once the Rosh has taken his bracha out of the realm of Birchas HaMitzvah, the realm of the Shevach, Birchas HaShevach is not bound by the rules of the Baruch HaMogel HaSevach, and forget the opposite is true. Generally speaking, Birchas HaShevach, we usually experience the event first, and then tend to recite the bracha. Marshall, many people recited Birchas HaMogel already, we didn't, a couple of days, maybe do it, but Birchas HaMogel, I experience this new Shevach, I see the new fruit, the tree starting to blossom, so then I recite the bracha. Let's say a person hears thunder. So you hear thunder. You don't make the bracha before you hear the thunder. Even if you had bracha kodesh and there's going to be thunder, you're a meteorologist and you can figure out there's going to be thunder in the next 10 seconds, don't make the bracha before. First the event occurs, then you recite the bracha. According to the Rosh, it'll make a lot of sense to ask it to do the kodesh first, and then to recite the bracha. But clearly, according to the Rosh, we're not going to insist, we're not going to apply the rule called mitzvah to bracha. So the chayr, a very, very good, clear, simple enough community in the Rosh is, where exactly the bracha should be placed in terms of the seder. However, it could be that there may be other factors at play. Hilchos brachos is a little bit of a tricky area of halacha. Very often there are other factors that play out in terms of hilchos brachos. So it could be that the rabbi may be right in terms of conceptually. The rabbi is right that it's a mitzvah, and therefore the karlin is the bracha. And therefore, the timing, Shasa Bracha, according to the Rambam, is Bracha, and then Tzibishu. That all may be true, but somebody may part ways with the Rambam. Somebody may agree to this Rambam in theory. Yes, it's a mitzvah, and yes, it's a Brachas HaMitzvah, but the Shasa Bracha may be different. Maybe the other way around. It may be reason to believe that Kedushin is going to precede the Bracha. Why would one believe that? So you have to come up with a good reason why we should change the rule. Yeah, according to the Rosh, there's no rule. According to the Rosh, there's a shadow, not even learn the Sugya of Sinitzvah. But according to the Rambam, and those who think that the Birchas HaMitzvah, so then L'chara, the connected dots, if it's a mitzvah to get married, if Kedushin HaMalach really means what it says, and Tzuvah Stav Zayin really means Birchas HaMitzvah, so then if one is right, if two is right, if three is right, clearly the Shasa Bracha should precede the Kedushin. What possible external factors could change that? So here we should throw out a few couple of possibilities. So one of them is a fascinating one presented by the Ravid. And so the Ravid, yeah. Very strange situation. The Ravid says the couple's getting on the chuppah, and here, you know, $100,000 already been spent, and they're standing on that marina. I hope everyone already finished eating the schmoltz board. Everyone's evolving and wonderful. They're standing, the photographers are flashing, and Shweki singing, everything's about to roll. And he's about to be Makadishar. They start to recite the bracha first, and the Raven whispers into his ear and says, you know, not such a good idea to be Mekadosh. Not such a good idea to make a bracha first. You know what may happen? You may make the bracha, but she may get cold feet. And if she gets cold feet at that point, what's going to happen? Tragedy, disaster. So the $100,000 somehow nobody cares about. The Shmuel's boy nobody cares about. Shweki, he got paid anyway. The photographer, the video, everybody got, so that's not a problem. The Busha, there are 500 people here, and now the Kala walks out from the chuppah. That nobody bothers. What's the rabbi bothered with? Shabbat Bracha Matom. Wow, you're a Shemayim. He's bothered. That's what really matters in this room. Bracha Matom. $100,000. Good deal. He's coming to go. Bracha Matom. So the rabbi says, because of that concern, it must be that we have to flip the order It's a technical concern, very, very technical grounds. It's not a conceptual, it's not a halacha, it's a pure technical concern. And therefore, we must flip the order in order to avoid the chashash of Rabbanu. The Rabbit says, because we write it, a negin ke, a makadish of Rabbanu Baruch. Vatam, ibnei shadom atol b'das acherim, v'tomar ha'isham lo tirzare abrach l'batom. Now, once the Rabbit has already developed this call for us, he now shows you that there's precedent in the Sefer. There's no Gemara about it. Gemara doesn't say that we have a mitzvah that depends upon somebody backing out, so everything changes. The Rabbit is looking and searching for some kind of halachic precedent for this. Says the Rabbit, "Is that time the birchas ha'av shemavarach lachnis and vishalav mavino?" I touch. There's a big, big issue that the Rishonim have at the end of Masechet Shabbos, at the night of Rosh Shabbos. The Gemara tells us that Chazal instituted multiple brachas in time of bris. One bracha is ala mila, Sheikh Mishar is ala mila, that's the bracha the male makes. And there's another bracha that the father makes, the achnisa of Rishra of Avish. Shows that Agav, why does the father make the bracha? The male already made a bracha, so what's the father make the bracha? I made a bracha, Sheikh Mishar is ala mila, there's the male made the bracha. So what's the father, Sheikh Mishar is ala achnisa? So when they make the bracha, it's ala mila. It's not an important question. No one knows. What is the significance of that second ala achnisa? What do you make ala achnisa for? The Rambam writes that what if there's no father? So the Rambam writes that nobody makes the bracha. Everything happens not to be that way. Everything is a son that doesn't make it. But the Rambam sheet is that there's no father, nobody makes the bracha. What do you see from that sheet of the Rambam? The Rambam's answering that question. The reason why there are two brachas on a mila is because there are two mitzvahs in a mila. There's a mitzvah's mila. There's a mitzvah that's testing that very mitzvah has a mitzvah. Then there's a second unique obligation that a father has to be Malah's son. In the Rosh Kedushin of Lotes speaks about the mitzvah sa'av l'ben, that a father has a special chiyuv, k'shatzi b'asei l'kim, but that from Sukkim, that a father is mechuyav min atari to be Malah's son, which will point somebody else to be Malah's son, whatever that means. So the Rambam says that's why there are two brachas. One is talking about the mitzvah's mila as a klal, and one is talking about the mitzvah's mila as a prat. And therefore, if that prat is not fulfilled because the father's not around, the top of the bracha is not made. That's the chiddush of the Rambam. Other Rishonim disagree with that. Other Rishonim, which is the meaning that we have an actual meaning that the father and the Rambam is not around, so the son and somebody else makes the bracha. How would we explain why the bracha lachnisa exists altogether? If I read it in a bracha, Allah means when I make a bracha lachnisa. So what do you see from the fact that there's an additional brachas and mitzvah on Vila? What does that indicate for us? What does that tell me? So it must be some other dimension of the mitzvah. There must be two parts of the mitzvah. So the Rambam identified for us what the second part of the mitzvah was. The Rambam interpreted the second part of the mitzvah was the chiyuv ha'av l'ben, that unique chiyuv ha'av l'ben. But according to those who recite the bracha like we do, even in the absence of a father, obviously the second dimension is not the Rambam's dimension. So what is the second dimension? So it could be just listening to the mitzvah for the brachas. One is Asher ki nishar mitzvah al ha'milah, and the other is Asher ki nishar l'chnisa v'sashav avinu. Bris Mila has something to it other mitzvahs don't have. See, if a person puts on tefillin, doesn't put on tefillin, it's not the end of the world. I mean, it's getting bad things to do. We're not advocating that. If a guy doesn't shake the lulav, doesn't get a shelf, doesn't demand, okay, you know, so, okay, the world didn't come to an end. He's back in the tzessi, try again. Try that demand. If a person doesn't get a bris, then there's something much more profound than that. That's a chisar. Not only is the onish of kares, but the reason why there's an onish of kares is because there's something profound that he hasn't been machnes atzma the bris. That doesn't mean he's not Jewish. If he did, he's Jewish. He was born to a Jewish father, so he's Jewish. But there's something chaser in his knis of the bris. There's something missing in his relationship to his brach and chal Yisrael. There's something profound that is lacking, and that is accomplished through the mitzvah mila. So the mitzvah mila almost has two parts to it. It's a mitzvah mila. It's the same as shaking the lulav like eating matzah. Ala mila. So that's the mila to care of. And brach hashem ala mila. Then Chazal instituted a second bracha to highlight the fact that mila has an additional component that actually affects the person's very essence. The achnisa v'shalav avinu makes sense. The father should be the one to make that bracha. If the father's not around, somebody else, the son, somebody else, the mother, stranger, somebody makes the bracha, because the bracha has to be recited not to highlight the father's fear, to highlight the second dimension of mila. So all the Rishonim were saying that l'achnisa v'shalav avinu is a bracha, a mitzvah. Each and every one of them has to explain away why are we saying two brachas for one mitzvah. We don't usually do that. We don't make two brachas in Malach. We don't make two brachas on Mor. We don't make two brachas on putting on tefillin. I mean, tefillin we do for that, because we make two different mitzvahs. But I thought, what if there is a big machlokes to be shown in the end of Shabbos, exactly what the timing of these brachas are. It's very, very tricky to time with these brachas. Why? Because obviously the mom makes the bracha al hanila first, and then what happens next? What happens after the mom makes the bracha al hanila? What do we think is going to happen? If you make a bracha, usually you have to do what?
The mitzvah.
The mitzvah. So then when is the father going to be saying lachnisa? Well, the mayo does the mila immediately after finishing the bracha al hanila, so then that's almost by default pushing off the father's lachnisa until after the mitzvah is over. And we don't like that. That's a problem. What's that a violation of? So the Ravid is sensitive to that problem. So the Ravid is looking at that dilemma of his bracha. He's reading the Gemara like Sefer Shem, the end of Sefer Shabbos, and saying, wait a second, we're making the bracha lachniso, you have to do mitzvah. How do you do that? So the Ravid says, he's thinking and thinking, it must be that the rationale for that strange that is, it must be because since the father's making the bracha, but the mother is the guy doing the milah, so Chazal could never envision for me to recite a bracha, I'll smack somebody else before the mitzvah. It's too risky, it's too dangerous. So now the rabbi is extrapolating from Mila because he assumed that's what's happening in the mitzvah. We shouldn't say that that's not the whole chronology of the Quran. But the rabbi, the Shita, also understood the chronology of the verse is Mila first, bracha of the father later. So the rabbi followed the kasha. Hey, what happened? It's not called mitzvah's bracha of the Yosan. The answer must be, but the mitzvah that depends on somebody else's. And it's too risky. The Ravid now is able to extrapolate. It was not really got the kiddushin. And since the marriage requires the wife's agreement, too risky to recite the bracha before doing this. There's a whole presentation, a whole picture that the Ravid has. Again, this is all assuming that the Rambam is right, that this is a birchas mitzvah. If it's not a birchas mitzvah, then we're going down the wrong road here. We're discussing the wrong principles. So we're having a lot of discussion about when is the precise timing of Birchas Erusin, provided that's Birchas Mitzvah. So the Rambam says the precise timing is Kishem Shem Baruch HaNet Chol HaMitzvah, Kap Baruch HaNet Erusin, Rebbe Nosi Yosef. And the Rambam says, no, that conceptually Birchas Erusin is the same as other Birchas Mitzvahs, but practically it's not, because of the concern of Chashash Baruch HaVatala, and Hechem Etzidach HaYetzvazeh, the Rambam saw that in the Baruch HaBach Nisal HaGol Mitzvah. Tomorrow, we have to go back a little bit to this rhyme and go back a little bit to that mashal of lachniso, because that may or may not be the accurate mashal, and then go back to the one to try to figure out, well, where is the correct time? What is, in fact, the correct time of the Bethesda, which hopefully all emanates from Agamemnon. So again, we're learning condition of Malach, in case nobody figured that out. We're learning condition of Malach, we're just focusing on the Gemara that says mitzvah yosim mishlucho. That statement of Chazal is a dead giveaway to some kind of a mitzvah. What we don't know, is it a mitzvah, is it a mitzvah, is it a hesher mitzvah? That, however you learn this Gemara, in fact, say what you see with Zayim, how you see with Zayim, in fact, it's not the primary of the book. Eventually, we'll come back to the Mal of Mal. We're really learning almost the combination of Kiddush and Mal together with Sukkot.
Thank you.